Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Welcome to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, making sense of your money, one money talk at a time. Let's get talking. Welcome to today's episode of Money Talk. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming, and in today's episode, we're talking all about how to get set up financially while you're in your 20s. Today's episode is just like the title suggests, a guide to your 20s financially. Today's episode features Greg Davis, and we have a wonderful conversation all around how to get set up in your early adult years. Greg Davis is the author of Checkmate and has worked in finance for many years. We'll be exploring the usefulness of popular financial rules of thumb, the power of automation in managing your finances, and the fundamental concepts that everyone needs to grasp onto early. Greg will also shed some light on some common financial mistakes we tend to make and how to avoid them, the responsible uses of credit cards, and additional tips to help boost your financial health. Plus, we'll discuss the importance of planning, the benefits of starting early with investments, and Greg's insightful bed for so framework. Get ready for an enlightening conversation that will set you on the right path financially for growth and the future to come. The money talking points for today's episode are rules of thumb useful? 2, how can automation play a role in your finances? And 3, what are some common mistakes you've also made? With the money talking points in mind, let's get talking. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's interview on Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Joining me today, I have Greg Davis, and I'm excited for this interview. We're going to talk about some of the key things that you need in your early years as an adult, in your 20s and maybe into your 30s. But Greg, would you go ahead and introduce yourself for everybody?
Yeah, I'd be glad to, Skylar. My name is Greg Davis. I'm actually retired after a 40-year career in finance accounting. So basically, I did a 40-year career, 23 years out in Hershey, Pennsylvania, working as a senior executive there, the entertainment company. And then I went a lot for 7 years at the University of Illinois before I retired in 2021. And now, first year in retirement, I just wrote a book called Checkmate, and I'm sure we'll talk about some of the topics in there today.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about like a guide to your 20s, like we said, and some of those topics that and tips that you've shared. But I kind of want to start out with rules of thumb. Are they actually useful? Are they good for people in their 20s to even consider? What are your thoughts on those general rules of thumbs? Like the
There's actually a couple, Scott, that I really tune into when I talk to younger people. One is pay yourself first. I talk about this in my book. And the real concept there for me is, you know, if you can withhold 10, 15, maybe up to 20% of your pay, A, you'll never see it, right? So it's not there for you to spend. Let's admit it, when we're in our 20s, there's lots of things we want to spend on. So that's the key. I think the pay yourself first is a paramount rule for all of us in our 20s, 30s, and even later. But also, I mean, I know there's people out there confess on the 20 or 50, 30, 20 rule. And I kind of like this concept that you kind of figure out what are the things you have to have or need, right? Put 50% into that. The wants are the things we'd like to have, that's 30%. But the even more important in my mind is the saving, right? Mm-hmm. The sooner we start, the better we're going to grow our portfolio. And that 20% is going to grow dramatically if you do that over your 40, 45-year career.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Like you said, your first one is pay yourself first, and then you like to lean on the saving part of the 50, 30, 20. Do you think that automation helps in that savings aspect? Does that help make it easier?
Yes, I think this is really important. in today's crazy technology world, we have all these tools out there, but we want to try and figure out how to use them to our advantage, right? And it's a little confusing, but I think people in their 20s, 30s know this better than me in my 60s. There's so many tools out there. I love the fact that you can automate a lot of your payments, right? Because when I was in my 20s, we didn't have automation, let's be honest. So for me, if I forgot to write out that rent check, that could be in some trouble, right? And or if I forgot to make the car payment, then I get some additional interest tacked on. So my advice to your listeners, Skylar, is use automation to your advantage. If there's automatic payments you can set up, do so. Doesn't cost anything to do that typically. I just recently ran into a utility company charging me a couple bucks to do a online payment, but usually call, they're willing to waive that at some point. You're a good customer. So in my opinion, we've got all these tools out there to use. Let's use them and try to avoid writing checks where we can. I think I write maybe one or two checks a month if I'm lucky, and that's usually for one-off expenses.
Yeah, I think I've wrote one check in my life. So yeah,
Yeah,
and it's like it's because it was like a campsite that didn't accept anything otherwise, which is weird.
They weren't quite up to the automation method yet.
Yeah, they weren't to even like cash yet. I guess cash came before checks, but they were only checks. It was like some random campsite, like first come, first serve. You had to get your site and then pay with a check. It was weird.
That's amazing. That still exists today.
Yeah, I was like, shoot, I guess we have to go to our credit union and get some checks. So we had to go get like the printout, like six or whatever they'll give you for free.
Yeah, but yeah, stay away from checks where you can, because that's just going to make you have to remember when to write them out, right? So let's alleviate those.
Yeah. Yeah, balancing your checkbook is something that the principle still applies of keeping your spreadsheet and your income and expenses in order. But thankfully, we don't really have to sit down and make sure all the checks cleared and where they are.
It's all done automatically for us now.
Yeah, it's a whole lot simpler now. But let's move into maybe some basic concepts that people can say, oh, I learned that from the podcast I'm listening to today, and I want to go learn more about it. What's something someone can take and research more about to learn more?
Yeah, that's a great question, Skylar. I think there's so many financial topics out there that sometimes it's overwhelming for people, right? I mean, let's be honest, when we're in our 20s and 30s and people start throwing out budgets and debt reduction and investment, we were like, our mind just starts to run in circles. Like, what should I do first? So I think the most important thing, at least something that I profess very strongly in my book, Checkmate, is budget. I actually think budgets are important for us at any age to just stay, to keep us on course, right? So it's so easy with our wants to want to go buy a new car or, you know, go buy this new fancy house that we saw a couple blocks away. But boy, let's make sure we have a budget that at least tells us what we should be spending on each month. And I think that kind of ties back to our earlier discussion on the 50-30-20 rule. That budget keeps us on track to make sure we're following those rules in more of a needs, wants, savings type of mode. So budgets are important. I also think just knowing some knowledge about basic investment. You know, we all can't be Warren Buffett to the world, clearly. But I will tell you, I read his newsletter every year, and it may sound boring, it's 20-30 pages, but it's one of the most informational, written in a very basic level. Then I would recommend any of your listeners just take a look at that. There's usually advice in there from an investment standpoint and just basic life lessons. So I think investments and budget are two things I would throw out there, Skylar. I think people should just do a little bit of research and then also talk about it with others. You know, it's funny in this country that we don't like to talk about money at all. It's kind of that hidden secret that you never want to talk about with your neighbor or your friends. I find it just the opposite. I love talking money with my friends and relatives because I think it's better to have an open discussion, right? It's not have it as a hush-hush type of thing and keep it underneath the covers. Let's bring it out and find out what other people do because there's a lot to learn from others.
Yeah, you're singing my song there with Money Talks. I love that. We need to talk about money more. That's what I've been preaching for years. How do you think people can start a conversation? Like, let's say they do want to learn a little bit more about investing and they don't know where to start, but maybe they have a friend that they know is decent with money.
Right.
How do you bring up that conversation?
Yeah, you know, the tricky one, but I think sometimes I've done this in family settings, and it's a little bit uncomfortable at first, but I'll just say, hey, I just saw a little something on the news that one of the things you should do, like January 1st, is take a look at all your automatic deductions that happen on a recurring basis. For example, you know, Apple TV. I'll just give you a great example from my personal standpoint. Back in January, I did a clean sweep of my bank statements and my credit card statements to see what my recurring payments were, Skylar. Mm-hmm. And this is something I think your audience would really be, it's an easy 5 to 10 minute exercise, right? Just pull your statements for the past month and go look what you're paying for. You're going to probably find cable bill, obviously. You're going to probably find maybe an Apple TV or other app-related shows, right? And then the real key is talk to your significant other. Are you still using them? Because at least what I found with my wife back in January is we signed up for Apple like 2 years ago and we were so hot on this current series that was out. That stopped about well over a year ago and we're still paying for it.
That's
so you know, just those recurring payments. So bring that up as a topic. And here's something I did. Maybe somebody else could benefit from that. And then that can kind of translate into other topics of, hey, you know, if you pick some savings up here and there for recurring payments, where do you put them? Well, you know, maybe I'm going to do some index funds, something really basic, and try and get that money to grow now for me.
Yeah. And on the note of subscriptions and things like that, I've done the same thing recently. And honestly, my tactic has been to cancel it so that when it hits that renewal point, it stops and then see if you ever need it again. And honestly, there's been three or four. Yeah, there's been three or four that we've never touched again. And honestly, if I hadn't told my wife that I canceled them, we would never know. Like, and that's why the automatic renewal, speaking of automation, is such a big deal for companies because that's how they keep their income coming in. And so if you can keep automation going towards savings, you can get it working in your favor.
Yeah, I love that. I love that because, you know, that is one of the downsides of this automation we were talking about earlier, Skylar. We tend to forget what we did sign up for, right? So unless we're checking our statements, I'm going to be honest, I'm an accounting nerd, right? It's not like you're a money guy. You probably do this too. I do really online. I do look at my statements every month to see what's coming out. And part of that goes into our budget. We keep a budget. We use a software app, Skylar, called YNAB, which appropriately stands for you need a budget, right? And we certainly need the budget, so it serves us perfectly. But I find that when I enter that stuff automatically in my you need a budget, it's like, oh, we're still paying for that Apple TV. We got to do something about that.
Yeah, and all these tools and tips that we're trying to get everyone to use in their personal finances, all these companies have learned that same tool and how to master it, like automation in their favor.
So, it's why the Apple recurring revenue has grown every quarter.
Yep, exactly. So don't let the automation work against you. But let's move on to some common money mistakes. What are some of those like common things, issues that people might have in their 20s when it comes to managing their money?
Yeah, I'm going to give a practical example from my situation in my 20s. I graduated when I was 21 out of college, Skylar. I think my first annual salary, your listeners are going to be an absolutely embarrassing number. I made $15,000 a year. Now, I'm going to be honest, I lived at home at that time. I was in my low 20s, right out of college. I thought I was a millionaire. $15,000 went along with back in 1981. And so what did I do? I worked 1 year in public accounting, making that $15,000 plus some overtime. And here's what we all do in our 20s, and I'm remorseful for it yet today, 40 years later. I went out and bought a brand new sports car, a 280ZX, which is not even around anymore, that model. But anyway, I took my first year of earnings and put it into a brand new car and even had a loan on top of it, right?
Wow.
So that money, if I think about what that money would be worth today, it's staggering 47 years later. So my message to people is when you're in your 20s, make sure you don't get confused with the needs versus wants. I wanted a sports car. Did I need one? No. I could have bought a used car for probably one-tenth of what I spent that $27,000 in. So my advice is make sure in your 20s, think about long-term ramifications of your spending today. If you go out and buy for example, a $10,000 even used car, think about is that vehicle stuff you have to have today. Maybe the car you have is still running fine and all that expensive on the repairs. Make that real hard decision. Think about it. Don't make a rash decision today. Think about it for a day or two. And then come back to see if that's something you really have to have.
Yeah. Yeah. And my wife has a 2001 Toyota Corolla that doesn't look great, but it gets us from point A to point B. So consider how those car purchases, especially nowadays, can be huge because your $15,000 plus car is people's brand new $60,000 car where they're making $40,000-$50,000 coming out of college. Damn. And they're spending all of it and plus some. So no, the numbers really line up. But even then, like if you're able to take that money, like you said, get it started early, automation, compound interest, all those sorts of terms. If you don't know what they are, look them up. And I have other episodes on them. But those sort of things are what builds your portfolio and your investment assets to make it so it's easy to purchase that car later down the road.
Yeah. You know, if you save that money in your 20s, quite honestly, if you point out, Skylar, maybe in your 40s, you can go buy a nice car because you have some of that wealth already built up at that point. But don't do it in your 20s when you don't have any savings. This wasn't a smart decision on my part.
Yeah, I mean, I think the hopeful thing is too is there's always time to change it. Like if you did, like maybe you're listening to this and yesterday you bought that new car and you're now listening to us say, oh no, don't do that. There's always hope, I think, with money. Like you can always adjust and change and maybe you sell the car and then you buy it later. But I think the one thing to realize is that it's never like totally lost.
No, great point. And to your point, Skylar, we all make mistakes and we do it with money as well as other areas of our lives. That's part of what's in my book is we all make mistakes. That whole chapter devoted to mistakes. And I'll give you another group that relates to finances. My wife and I in our 40s felt that we needed a beach house in the Outer Banks, North Carolina. Now, she was a pathologist and I was a finance guy at Hershey. We made a good salary, but did we really need a vacation home? Probably not. So we bought a home in Outer Banks in 2005, which was the peak of the beach real estate market, paid a ridiculous price for the house, sold it 12 years later, Skylar, for basically two-thirds of what we bought the initial house. Wow. So it was a substantial capital loss and a huge loss of value from our portfolio. So again, it just comes down to that needs versus wants. We really made a really stupid, rash decision in our 40s to buy that house and paid the price 10, 12 years later.
Wow. Yeah. If you can get clear on your needs and wants early, I think that'll help everybody out. But I'm going to skip credit cards. It was something we were going to discuss today, but I kind of want to jump into this last couple questions. But
oh, yeah.
Credit cards are a great topic. I guess just a quick thought on them from you. Do you think there's something people should use? Should they look into them more? Or should they stay away from them completely?
Yeah, let me think. My advice is use credit cards, but use them smartly. In other words, make sure if you're putting something on a credit card that you can pay it off at the end of the month. That's my strong rule of credit cards is never carry a balance. That's how the credit cards make this ridiculous amount of money and 20-25% interest. But if you can pay it off, small or credit cards, Skylar, because I think there's some real good benefits with the perks they provide.
Yes. Yep. That's awesome. That's what I think too. I'm working on a credit card guide. So to tease it to the Money Talk audience, I'm working on like a PDF. So I'm excited for that to come out. But I think they're great. They're paying for a lot of my wife and I's upcoming trip to Hawaii to celebrate her graduating.
That's what we did as well. We didn't have to pay for any of our hotel rooms in Hawaii for a 7-night trip.
Yeah, I love telling all my friends between the different credit cards we use. I was like, we paid $150 to fly to Hawaii. And they're like, how did you do that? So that's a great conversation starter.
That's a great conversation. That's when you want to have at every party.
Yeah, that's when the money talk starts happening. So awesome. Perfect. Use credit cards, but be careful. They can be dangerous. But
right.
Other financial tips you have, other things, young adults from your book, things like that. What can young adults do to think about when they want to do better with their money?
Yeah, I actually have this in one of my early chapters. I have three chapters in the book that are devoted to finances, Skylar. And my first one is basically chapter 7, which the lesson of that chapter is, keep in mind, the title of the book is Checkmate, but it's some chess analogies. But my lesson here is with chess, money, and life, failing to plan is planning to fail. Mm-hmm. So my advice here is use time to your advantage, right? If you're young in your 20s and 30s, if you start putting some money away, even if it's $100 a week and building up over time, you can amass a really nice retirement portfolio by the time you're in your 60s. And hopefully you can retire at maybe age 60. I retired at 61. My wife retired at 55. We couldn't do that if we didn't start early. So use time to your advantage. And also I have 5 real quick tips I'll give your listeners.
Perfect.
I actually do an acronym here called BED, B-E-D, the number 4, S-O, BED for S-O. And here's what that means. B is budget development, right? We talked about that earlier. E is emergency fund. Set up an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of your expenses so you don't have to go borrow the money. D is debt pay down. Pay down debt as quickly as you can. If you have that behind you. The number 4 stands for 401k. My advice is maximize your 401k company match. And then lastly, SO is communicate with your significant other. In other words, my wife and I do monthly budget dates, Tyler. Sounds boring, but we have a nice glass of wine, go to a nice restaurant, and we talk about where we are financially and for some things we need to plan for.
Yeah, those monthly budget meetings are cherished. Like, it's the reason that we're able to only spend $150 on flights to Hawaii.
Right,
the reason
we're for that,
doing right? well. So, yeah, because I will sing the song of sinking funds or buckets or whatever you want to call them forever. Because that's how we saved up for Hawaii, is like just slowly budgeting money. And I think the fun thing is once you get going, it can be a little hard at first, but once you get going, those money talks are fun. They're exciting. They're challenging. Like, we had one where my wife and I were debating. I had brought up the idea of, hey, what if we borrowed from a grandparent that we know has that we know is doing well, used a credit card to pay for her tuition, and then paid them back at a lower interest rate that we paid the credit card right off? Because then we could have got, we didn't end up doing it. Other things came into that's the thing, is there's more than just the numbers to it.
Right.
But like things like that, you can optimize. We would have got the companion pass, a bunch of like rewards and bonuses and things. So there's fun conversations you can have. And I told my wife, I obviously wanted to do it. I'm the numbers guy. And I made sure to bring it up to my wife because she's the behavior and the we keep aligned like that. So
yeah, you're a team, right? I mean, everybody brings a different facet to the table. And I think those budget things are very important for your listeners to these pride, because a lot of times it's usually just one party and a couple that likes to talk money or deal with money. But I think if you enrich both of you in that discussion, both of you are more heading towards the same goals.
Yeah. So she brought in the behavioral aspect. We ended up, we disagreed a little bit, but by the end I agreed with her, we shouldn't do it. And I was like, wow, that was just exciting. Like, that was a really like deep conversation we had to have. That's of perfect. Like relative, like relationships, feelings, like all that sort of stuff. There was a lot in it.
So. That's what a marriage and a relationship would be, right? Be able to talk about those topics and get through them safely.
Yeah, it was fun. So I always encourage people, just start talking about money. It gets easier and gets better. But we're coming to the end here, Greg.
Sure.
I want to talk about your book and where people can find you real quick. But our last question to get you thinking about it at the end after this is, what's one thing you wish you would have known sooner when it comes to money? But first, I'll start you off by, how can people contact you, find your book and such?
Yeah. Well, first of all, the book is out on Amazon, but I also have a really cool website, Tyler. It's www.davistechmate.com. And I actually have some retirement personal finance articles on that website. It has some reviews of my books, and you get to learn more about me and the book Checkmate. And I would encourage people to take a look at this book. It's not only talking about finances, it talks about careers, relationships, mistakes we've made, opportunities we've missed, and really ends up with how can you overall increase your happiness by doing some new things through my life lessons. So it's a pretty easy 150-page read. Yeah. To answer your question, Tyra, what's the one thing I wish I would have known sooner? It's the power of time in our youth. I mean, honestly, I'm like everybody else. In the 20s and 30s, we don't think about retirement. But I just wish I had put more money away, even in my 20s and my first couple jobs, before I even started my real career in my low 30s at Hershey. Because that money would have grown so dramatically over time just by using the stock market to our advantage. And you don't have to be an aggressive investor. You can use basic index funds like Warren Buffett suggests in his letters. And just that money will grow even in the 5-8% range over a period of 20, 30, 40 years. And that's when you really amass some really nice retirement savings by the time you're in your late 50s, early 60s. So time is use time to your advantage, my advice.
Yeah, time has been the answer to that question 5 or 6 times over the last few weeks. So it's a common one that comes up. So that means if you're hearing it, that means take it seriously. Get started investing now.
Use time to your advantage.
Awesome. Well, that's fantastic. Use time to your advantage. Use automation to your advantage. Cancel your subscriptions. Lots of great things in today's episode, Greg. Thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me, Skylar. And good luck to you and your listeners on applying some of these tips to their own life.
Thank you so much to Greg Davis for coming on today's episode. That interview was great, and I know I really enjoyed it, and I hope you did as well, and that you'll share this episode with a friend. But first, I want to talk about the money talking points. The first money talking point is, are rules of thumb useful? I think they are. I think they're a good starting point, but ultimately you can't hang everything on them because you do have to learn about finances as you grow and do better with money. But a rule of thumb is a fantastic place to start. If you're trying to see if financial independence is possible, start with the 4% rule of thumb. That way you can know 25 times my expenses annually is this. That's what I have to get to in order to live off the 4% rule. Rules of thumb are a good place to start, especially if you have really no clue what you're doing. So if you're sitting here after listening to that interview, you're like, oh, all those tips are great, but I still don't really know what to do. Find a rule of thumb that can help you get started and just go with it. They're a great place to get started. The second money talking point is, how can automation play a role in your finances? I think automation can play roles in a lot of people's finances. Like I've said before, it helps take the behavior out of personal finance and helps you automate the math. Things like payroll deductions for your HSA or your 401k, those are automation. Direct deposit is even automation. Can you imagine if you had to get a check every week from work, take it to the bank and deposit it? How boring would that be? Traffic already sucks. Can you imagine if all the traffic was trying to go to the bank at the same time? Automation can also play a role in helping you save money. Maybe your paycheck is going to two separate bank accounts because you have automation set up. And I have a great episode with Adam Costa that you should go listen to. It's way back, but it's about automation and it's going to be really helpful for you. The third money talking point is, what are some common mistakes you've also made? This is one I want to hear from you on. Please send me an email or leave a comment on social media. What are some common money mistakes that you've made? Let's have a money talk about it on social media or send me a message and I'd love to chat about it. Up next, let's talk about the credit card corner. All right, I know we moved right past credit cards in the interview, so I want to talk about them a little bit more here and talk about my upcoming guide, which is super exciting. But credit cards can be a great tool. Next week's episode is going to be a brand new free resource all about credit cards and the great tool that they can be. But you should also know that they can be extremely dangerous. They're often related to a chainsaw. If you know how to use it well, you can do great work with a chainsaw. But if you don't know how to use it, it's extremely dangerous in the wrong person's hands. So next week's episode is going to be talking all about credit cards, and let's talk a little bit about them. One common myth around credit cards is that you have to carry a balance, and that is busted. That is just not true. Consider that myth busted. You do not have to carry a balance on your credit card, and that's one of the great insights I'm going to share in next week's episode. So be sure you're subscribed here on YouTube or on whatever podcast player you're listening to this podcast on. You do not have to carry a balance on a credit card in order to build credit, in order to use the credit card, or anything like that. You can pay zero interest on a credit card ever and still have your credit improved. My wife and I have never paid interest on a credit card because we've gotten started so young, and that has allowed us to build our credit scores extremely high. We've never missed a payment. We've never paid any interest, which has just saved us money. So remember that, the myth of you have to carry a balance. If you ever hear someone say that, tell them they're wrong. Just kidding. Don't be rude about it, but know that you do not have to carry a balance on a credit card. Next, let's talk about the Money Talk Mastery with some budgeting strategies. All right, in today's Money Talk Mastery segment, we're talking budgeting strategies, and I just want to go through a couple of them to give you an idea. And the first one is going to be a 50-30-20 budget, which is a rule of thumb. This one is commonly brought up as just a way for people to get started. It can be simple and easy, but what it is, it's 50% to needs, 30% to wants, and 20% to savings or debt paydown. I honestly worry that 20% to savings or debt paydown might be too little, especially if you're using it for debt paydown. So if you only end up saving 5%, you may want to flip some of that wants into your savings and debt paydown percentage to make it a whole lot easier there. Another option is the zero-based budget. This is what my wife and I do. It's making sure every dollar has a job. You'll hear Dave Ramsey talk about this one a lot, but it may be too restrictive for some people and it may be too much work to set up every single category to have a job and for your money to all have a job. It's a lot to do, but once you get the hang of it, it's really nice to see that your money is going to specific places. Another budgeting method is the envelope system. This one can be super simple, but it can also be a little bit of a pain. But it's cash first, and you avoid debt altogether because you're using cash. And when you run out in an envelope, you will know it and you'll feel it because you're using cash. It can be very inconvenient, but it's a good way to cut spending habits. It requires good tracking and behaviors though, so this one can be a little daunting to set up, but it's not that big of a deal. It's not that bad. You have envelopes for your main categories. You figure out your budget for the month. You put cash in that envelope and then you spend out of that envelope. And you may have to transfer between envelopes, but I didn't mention that. Don't say I told you to do that because you should avoid it and you should try to stick to your budget really hard. But sometimes things come up and you may have to take from one envelope and put it in the other, and that's okay. But it is a cash first, no debt kind of system, so consider it. The next one is to pay yourself first or reverse budgeting. And this one encourages good savings and it ensures that your savings goals are getting first dibs on your money. You do have to know exactly how much money you're bringing in and understand your cash flow in order for this one to work. You got to know how much you actually need to live on because you don't want to be left with too little to live. It can be very hard to get into regularly if you're already living paycheck to paycheck. The next one is priority-based budgeting. This one means list out your categories or expenses and then order them from greatest to least priority and then allocate your money in that way. This can be a great way to remove spending from things you don't truly value. It could be a good way to set your priorities and understand how you want to spend money. It may be easy to value spending. Maybe you value categories that require you to spend a lot, and it's possible to overspend. So you need to make sure that savings is a priority with this priority-based budgeting method. But next, I want to talk about the anti-budget, which is similar to pay yourself first, but it has a better name. For those who don't like budgeting, you could say, I'm anti-budget. But this is still a good way to budget. But what it is it's putting some money away, and then you do not budget the rest. You simply give yourself permission to spend what is left over. It's super easy. So let's say you have a paycheck of $1,000, and you put $200 away. There's your 20%. And now you have complete permission to spend the rest of the money. And that is okay. It's super easy. Next is the 80% budget, which is kind of why I just used that 80% number, but it's the same as the anti-budget, but it gives yourself a specific percentage to live on. Save 20%, spend the rest. You could do the same thing with a 70% budget. Save 30%, spend the rest. The goal is to get you automatically saving, and your lifestyle will adjust to the amount that you have left. It will, I promise. If you're not sure, read the book, The Automatic Millionaire. It talks a lot about how your lifestyle will adjust automatically to putting more money into your 401k, putting more money into your investments, and having a little less money to live on. Your lifestyle will be just fine. The last one here is the bare bones budget. And I think this one is one that everybody needs. It sucks to have to use because it's a bare bones budget. But you need to know what your basic life costs. What if a series of emergency hits and you really need to cut back? How much money do you really need? When you already have it set up, it makes it a whole lot easier to implement. So I know the bare bones budget doesn't sound like a great thing, and it really isn't because you're probably having to use it out of necessity, but it's something that you have to have figured out. And here are some practical tips on creating and sticking to your budget as you're thinking through this. Give it some time. It will take time. Don't rush yourself. Give it a few months because it's going to take some time, and be willing to fail. I still make mistakes with our budget. I put things in the wrong place, and maybe that's a math error, but we still make mistakes with putting too much in one category and then we have to adjust later, things like that. It'll all be okay. Just get started. Get started managing your money. Start with the anti-budget if you're worried about budgeting. Just change up your method if you need to. If you say, oh, I've done the anti-budget for 6 months and I think I'm ready to be a little bit more specific with the money that I have left over, change it up. Be willing to change. That's the awesome thing about finances, is that there's always an opportunity to change and do better. Next, let's talk about the personal finance power-up. Today's power up is to cancel your subscriptions, turn off auto renewal, and then see how many of them you don't need. This has been a huge, I'm gonna call it a life hack, because it can save you a lot of money in your life and a lot of time in your life if you have subscriptions that you're not trying to use and all that sort of stuff. So turn off auto renewal, see how many of them you do not need, because I bet there's a lot. Even for my wife and I, and we're pretty careful about our subscriptions, we don't just sign up to anything. There were still a few that I canceled and we didn't really notice, and it's okay. There's a couple that were maybe like, oh, I think I'd like to bring that one back, but we're going to wait till there's a need for it. Then we'll purchase 1 month and then we'll cancel it, which is a whole lot cheaper than just buying a year or leaving auto renewal turned on. So cancel subscriptions by turning off auto renewal and see how many of them you do not need. Up next is today's handy hints. And I said hints with an S because I got two of them for you today. First one is automation, and the second one is the 401k match. Automation. Just like companies make money off of you with automation, you got to be sure to make money off of your money or to make money off of better behaviors and financial habits using automation. Like we just mentioned in the power up, canceling subscriptions allows you to take control of automation in your favor because companies are using it to make money off of you with subscriptions. So automation, things like 401k deposits, 401k matches, paycheck deposits into different accounts to save money. That's a great way to set up your anti-budget. Put 20% into one account, 80% into another, and then spend all of that 80% you get and don't even look at the 20%. But the other handy hint today is the 401k match. And this is because it's part of Greg's bed for so method. In the four is the 401k. And there's a lot of potential from the company match. It's free money that they're planning to give you anyways as part of your compensation, so make sure you're taking advantage of it. It's the exact place you need to start when you're looking at how much should I contribute to my 401k. If you have to do less, try really hard to get up to that full match amount. And you can also automate your contributions to make this even easier. Set it up with your HR or payroll department and automate your contributions to your 401k to maximize that match you're getting. And if you can go beyond that, that's great. Of course, make sure your 401k is actually invested. My work's 401k, I don't believe they actually automatically invested the money. It just sat there in cash. And that has me worried about all the people that maybe didn't look at their account and it's just sitting there in cash doing nothing. So make sure your 401k is actually invested. If you're not sure what to put it in, find whatever says S&P 500 or US large cap, things like that, and invest it in an index fund like that. But do a little bit of research first so you understand what you're investing in. But that's today's handy hints. Let's wrap up today's episode next. Thank you for listening to today's episode, and thank you to Greg for coming on today's podcast. We have a lot of clips doing really great on YouTube and social media, so be sure to head over to my social media accounts and give them a follow, because there's a lot of great stuff going on over there, and I appreciate everyone who subscribes to my podcast and on YouTube. But to wrap today up, Greg Davis provided us with some valuable insights, and be sure to head over to the show notes to find his contact information and his website. But we talked about a lot of great things, like some financial tips for everyone, automation, budgeting, subscriptions, and canceling those darn things, credit cards, and my upcoming guide, so be sure to subscribe for that, and much, much more. There was a lot of great things in today's episode. What did you take away from today's episode? Let me know. I'd love to hear more. I'm looking forward to next week's episode, and you should be too. My brand new credit card guide resource is coming out, and there's a lot of great info in it, and I'm super excited for it. It was actually recommended to me by a listener to create this credit card guide and talk a little bit more about credit cards, so I'm super excited for my first new resource in quite a while. But thank you for listening to Money Talk. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.